got peace of mind and elbow room. I love to smell the sage in bloom. I catch a rainbow on my fishing line. We got county fairs and rodeos. Ain't a better place for my kids to grow. Just turn them loose in the western summertime. And if you ever held your woman on summer's evening while the prairie moon was blazing,
wherever you're waking up under this western
you know
sky,
I live beneath.
Hope you've got a nice, pleasant weekend planned. We've got a wonderful program scheduled for you today, starting with some incredible
you ain't lived until you
stories.
Watch those northern lights.
Arizona stories. That's what we're all about. Good morning, folks. Thank you for tuning in to Rosie on the House. In the 7 o'clock hour, it's your soft and easy weekend wake-up call where we ramp up to our regular program show starting at 8 in the garden. 9 and 10 o'clock, we'll be talking today about air conditioning, which is a little bit appropriate, given we're setting records this morning and today and tomorrow, I think, at 117 degrees. So air conditioning is going to be an important, critical topic to be discussing. Join us at 9 and 10 this morning for that. We're going to be talking about things you can do around your house to save money on your air conditioning bill that costs you little to nothing. All right? You'll only get that information right here at Rosie on the House. But this hour, as those of you who have begun to change your habit and set your alarm 1 hour earlier and join us at the Rosie on the House 7 a.m. hour, you know it's wherever Rosie wants to go. We talk about anything that you'd like to talk about, and I invite different friends in here, and we just have story time. And I've invited an old friend, a good old friend, Mr. Steve Hirsch, in to join us this morning, a partner, an attorney at the Brian Cave Law Firm, certified real estate specialist by the State Bar, recently elected an officer of the State Bar, a distinguished alum of the university down in Tucson, the U of A. Yay. Hey, very active in Boy Scouts for a long, long time, and oldest son of the outdoor icon Bob Hirsch. Steve and I have been fishing and camping and traveling Arizona and some other parts of the country together for years. Steve, thanks for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
Turn that mic on.
Oh, there you go.
See, I'm not as official and professional as Dad was.
No,
it's my pleasure to be back and be a part of this new gig. This first hour has been fun over the last few weeks listening.
We've been having a lot of fun with it. And, boy, one of the things that people tell me, we were all at the Outdoor Expo last week, and people were telling me, boy, I love the Arizona stories. Tell more Arizona stories. And I thought, well, boy, there isn't anybody I could call in to join the show that could tell more Arizona stories than my friend Steve.
Well, I was privileged to be part of a family kind of before it was cool to do that. Born here in the mid-50s, and back then you could basically go hiking and not see a house at Indian Bend Wash at north of Lincoln and Scottsdale Road, as you remember, and take some hikes through the orange groves. You're pretty well out of the city by 35th Ave or whatever, and let alone going north up to points around Flag and Payson, and it was wide open country there.
Get on Rim Road 300 and pitch a tent any place you wanted, pull off in your little pop-up trailer. Now they've got signs all along that road, no parking within 300 feet. I mean,
yeah,
they're managing people up there now.
I don't know how we survived those days, but we would try to find a camp spot that was within 20 feet of the rim itself.
Yes.
And I don't think, luckily, any of us were sleepwalkers, but I mean, you walked and weren't careful in the middle of the night, you were over the edge, but you'd have some beautiful vistas. But yeah, our protectors there with the Forest Service have scaled that back, mainly to keep some of the seeps and the wetlands and the habitat from getting so trammeled by all the new folks here in our state who love our state.
You know, and when you and I grew up here in Arizona, we were looking at a million and a half people. You could take a drive on the Four Peaks Road and not see a soul.
There's no question about that, but people don't realize that we do have a vast state, and there's still lots of places out there to see. And if you make the effort, you can still get away from it all. I try to on a regular basis, and I know you all do too. And it's it's possible. You just have to work at it a little bit.
Well, and your dad was great at promoting it and teaching kids. I mean, Jennifer, you met Bob even before you and I knew each other.
Yeah, I was working at Yellowfront, and they had an outdoor expo every year, and he was at this little set-up pond and teaching kids how to fish.
The madhouse on McDowell in the old Coliseum.
And just tons of kids gathered around him to learn what he knew. And then he'd come in the store, of course, as people signed up for different seasons.
Printed the outdoor almanac. Who can forget that?
Well, some of your older listeners will remember Dad had one semester of Phoenix College under his belt. That was the extent of his formal education. And he was selling pencils downtown for a stationery outfit. So I remember trumping along with him as a 6-year-old downtown. And he finally said, you know, I'm going to match my love for the outdoors with a profession. He went to work for Game and Fish. And that 2 years he spent with them was in their information and education department, still a thriving part of the department's efforts. And he had a hand in starting the Wildlife Views TV show, which we all see on cable, yes. And it's on all the time, and edited some of their publications. This will shock everybody, he bristled a little bit at the state bureaucracy and all the forms and all that. So he lasted about 2 years, and that was enough of working for the man. And he came home one day, and I'm the oldest of five, kind of like a Romero family almost. And he announced to Mom, I was probably early teens, a bunch of squalling kids, that he was going to quit his state job with a pension and go 100% freelance. So I was at Camelback High back in those days, and that really began an adventure of if he didn't go out and take pictures and camp and write about it or take film of it and show on KTAR or whatever, we didn't eat. So he, from that point forward, edited magazines and wrote for some national publications and obviously was the outdoor editor for the now defunct Phoenix Gazette. Rosie brought an article in here from 1993 to spark some memories of a trip to Louisiana we took together.
Yeah, we took that trip every year for what, a decade? For 10 years we did that.
At least that, yes.
If you've got a favorite Bob Hirsch story, give us a ring and let's hear it. 1-888-767-4348. You know, you're one of the few guys, Steve, I can talk to that maybe have seen more corners and pockets of the state than I have. What are some of your favorite places that you don't mind sharing with our listeners this morning? Because I have a few favorite places I've never shared, but I have a lot of favorite places I do share.
Well, I'll answer that, but your comment sparks a story. Dad used to, the only hate mail he would get would be he'd do a write-up on a fishing spot, and people would call and say, hey, that was my favorite hole up on the Black River. You outed me, you know. Now it's going to be, you know, hammered with new fishermen.
That's right.
But, you know, back in the 60s, there really wasn't any outlet. There wasn't any show like this. There was obviously no internet. We really did have these quaint sportsman shows that Ms. Jen talked about in terms of the Coliseum and the old fairgrounds buildings and whatnot.
Fairground buildings.
And that's the way people got the news. But, yeah, I've even run into you all sometimes unscheduled coming around a corner on Powell or or running around the dirt roads down south. But I listed a couple here. I'll give you a quick top five. How would your listeners like about that?
Okay,
all right,
we'll
go from 5 to 1. Now, this was the product of deep thought. I scribbled it down about 1 minute till 7 here today. Number 5 would be, I'm just going to call it generally the Sonoyta wine country. If your listeners have not gotten down to the other wine part of the state, most people are familiar with Page Springs and Oak Creek and that beautiful area up there. There's a row of wineries up in the rolling oak country, Patagonia, Sonoyta, Mustang Corners, all the hot spots down in Cochise County that's really neat to see. Elgin being one of the headquarter spots also down there.
That's a beautiful area. We've gone there many times together, and did you stay at the Walker Ranch with us that 1 year?
I stayed there a month ago, believe it or not.
It's actually for sale.
I've heard that. So if they're listening,
you didn't tell me. You've been holding out on me.
It is. They actually have it listed for sale.
Well, do you know the price?
1.7.
I would have guessed more.
All right. Well, you guys are verging on violating securities laws here by making an offering, but maybe we can put a bunch of us yahoos together and go in for that. We were there about a month ago, believe it or not, with a bunch of judges, Maricopa County Superior Court judges, and sampling some of the wines, and we ended up having a big cookout. And I had just come back from Alaska. I had liberated some halibut and some salmon, so we those judges dined pretty nicely, and we had some of the local wines. Just a great area of the state. Great day trip too. You don't have to make a big production out of it. Go down there and you can slow down as you're going through Tucson and look over at the Pac-12 South champion Arizona Wildcat football stadium there, Rosie. I know you want to do that.
Yeah, yes. Well, it is one of the prettiest corners. I think in that particular area, one of the prettiest little pockets is that right at that Canela Pass.
The Canelas are awesome mountains. Romy and Rosie and I have hiked through them a number of occasions, and they're just a group of low-lying hills. I've even had Cher, my wife, who just soon camped at a Ritz-Carlton, down in camp with us there, and she's enjoyed it. It's a beautiful elevation and a great place to be.
It's absolutely perfect. The game that you can see down there in the outdoor camping environment. I do have to say, as you go out down near the south end of the Huachucas and the south end of the Patagonia Mountains, I'm surprised, and you're pretty well connected with a lot of these other organizations. I'm surprised institutions like the Sierra Club haven't raised a little bit more guff about the condition that all the way from Sasebo all the way to Benson, basically. I mean, what we've seen happen down there in our lifetime is it's more than heartbreaking.
The habitat degradation that's occurred because of the traffic along the border there is one of the untold stories. There's enough human suffering, and it's obviously a major political issue. But when you consider critters, which we're all about here, and wildlife conservation, the fact is that the traffic and the trails and the trash and the fence trampling in that area of the state is tragic.
It is. Now, one of the reasons we have you here is I went through a long, long list of all the all your accomplishment here as your career as an attorney here in town in the state of Arizona. But you are also active, very active in the Boy Scouts. And you're also, are you a founder of the Wildlife for Tomorrow organization?
Well, one, you know, usually there's a commercial message involved with a Rosie Romero venture, and this is no exception. I have found myself as president of a foundation called Wildlife for Tomorrow. No, I wasn't one of the founders. Most of the founders are still around. Okay. Mike Capel, who you know,
yes.
John Balmo over at Snell and Wilmer, and several other dedicated sportsmen primarily, set up this 501c3 foundation back in the early 90s to raise money for the Game and Fish Department, which can't give tax receipts to donors. We can. We've got an IRS determination letter that allows us to do that. And our mission is basically to raise money that we can then partner with the department on projects that they otherwise have trouble funding because of state procurement regulations and other constraints on their budget. Mike Russell's talked about this. I know, you know,
yes,
the department doesn't run on tax revenue.
Yeah.
The best thing any of your listeners can do to help Arizona wildlife is to buy a hunting and fishing license and fold it up and put it in their pocket if they don't want to use it.
Now, I hate to interrupt, gentlemen, but that was like a five-minute explanation on number one.
Yeah, no, that was number five.
Sonora Wine Country, number five.
We have four more to go.
We better keep moving on these, or we're never going to get through.
God, you know, Romy's always since he was a newborn, he's always been the ramrod in this family. All right, number four is another area that I know you guys know and love. It's to us sportsmen. It's Unit 6A. It's the area of Mormon Mountain, south
yes.
of Flag and east of Munns Park. Now,
does that include Stoneman Lake area?
It does include Stoneman Lake. I pulled off in there 2 weeks ago. Romy, I'll give your listeners an update. It hasn't filled back up. There's the update. It's still just a little dark, marshy spot down there.
But somebody that doesn't know hunt units would have.
Yes.
But knows Arizona has seen the Stoneman Lake exit driving to Flagstaff.
Stoneman Lake exit. Next time you're barreling with your family and people are hot and ill-tempered and you're climbing out of the Verde Valley and you see Stoneman Lake exit, if you have any clearance at all, and it doesn't take a four-wheel drive or a pickup, get off on that road and take that road up over the rim that way and over to the pavement on the Lake Mary Mormon Lake Road and go into Flag that way. You'll likely see some elk, maybe some turkey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Flushing quail, a few muleys or even whitetail now through there. But, you know, a lot of us and friends of mine in particular like Munns Park, and they have cabins up there.
Yes.
And we'll sometimes mooch off of them and get an invite and maybe be sipping beverage with them. And I'll say, hey, let's tomorrow morning wake up and run that Forest Service road over to Mormon Lake Lodge. We'll have breakfast over there. And they say, well, what's that? Where's that? And they've never gotten off their duff from Munns Park to go drive that Forest Service road that links up Munns Park with Mormon Mountain and
it
Mormon
Lake. Right off the side of Mormon Mountain. That's a pretty little road.
I don't think I've been there since we used to occasionally stay at the Rich's cabin. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I remember about that, he had a full taxidermy bear that he would dress in the seasons. He might have sunglasses and fishing pants on, and it was always like, what is this bear dressed up like this time?
Look, we go all morning with Pete Rich stories, so I can't resist one. Mom and Dad are involved in it. We were tooling around up there, and Mom said, I'm a little thirsty. Let's go over to Mormon Lake Lodge. We approached it, and it was a biker rally. So here are all these guys in leathers and everything.
Pete Rich was in.
That didn't stop. We walk into the bar, and there's Pete Rich at the bar. And he goes, hey, there's Bob Hirsch. So we didn't buy any drinks the rest of the way. We turn around, and, you know, Dad would start to tell stories, shockingly.
Oh, man.
We turn around. Mom's playing duo tag team pool with bikers. there at Mormon Lake at the bar. So anyway, that's another story. Number three, this is a real gem. And this is a spot some of your listeners may not have seen. Christmas Tree Lake up on the Fort Apache White Mountain Reservation. Now, this was one of the areas of the state that Dad was closest to. I'm lucky to maintain the ties with the tribal leadership there and their great wildlife and recreation department there in White River. And this is a gem of a lake. And the neatest thing about it, and the department had a lot to do with it along with the tribe, we only have two native trout here. Everyone loves to catch rainbows and cuts and browns. But our two native trout, as the fishermen in the audience know, are the Apache trout and the Gila trout. And Christmas Tree Lake is a headquarters of hatchery-raised, reintroduced Apache trout. And we've got an annual trip that Dad started in the 90s that I keep going with my friend Mark Ogden.
Every year.
And we take over the whole lake. There's about 20, 25 of us. And some of you listeners have run into me up there. And we fly fish and fling some lures and catch these beautiful lemony Apache trout.
Now, I know when y'all do that larger group trip to Christmas Tree, it's by reservation only, and you've basically got the right to the whole lake, right? But is the lake open to the public at other times of the day that aren't?
Yes. The May, three weekends and 2 weeks in May are for the camp fishermen, although there's some onesies and twosies spots if you contact the White Mountain Fort Apache Tribe, get on their website. But then it does open to the public, and I think I may have this wrong, I think it's $25 a day.
Okay.
Got to bring your own boat. The camp experience includes canvas tents that are used for elk hunting camps. They just haul them over there and set them up for fish camp, and a cook, and three squares a day, and delightful, you know, power, and it's like you're at an outdoor Ritz-Carlton, but that gets taken away in its regular fishing during the summer months.
All right, so Christmas Tree Lake.
Christmas Tree Lake on the Fort Apache White Mountain Indian Reservation. I could go off on many other spots in the Fort Apache, neat area of the state. Get out from the cabin and Pine Top and drive those roads out there, folks.
Oh, man.
Watchable wildlife, a big part of what the department's all about. Take some binocs and a jug of water and drive those roads. Number two and number one are pretty low-hanging fruit, and they'd be on everyone's list. But number two, I'm just going to say generically, is the Grand Canyon. Now, you had a couple river runners on last week.
Yes.
I've been privileged in my life to do five 8-day trips down the canyon, and also to take a number of hikes there, which I know you do from time to time. So even if it's to the South Rim and peering down, get on the Grand Canyon Association website. That's the foundation that supports the Park Service. They do a little bit for the Park Service, what Wildlife for Tomorrow does for the Game and Fish Department. and you'll see a lot of the historic things that they're doing. They just finished a renovation of the Kolb Studio,
yes.
the two boys from Ohio that yep. built that studio on clinging to the side of the South Rim and would run down to Indian Gardens to develop film of the mule riders and run it back up and sell them the photos.
Now, of all the hikes, I mean, because you're a pretty avid hiker as well, especially as Rosie was mentioning with Boy Scouts and the adventures, what is your favorite? Half day hike, full day hike, one day hike. I mean, different levels of hiking for different experiences.
Yeah. Well, my answer to that, Rome, is get out and hike. Okay, whatever the time allows. Now we're in these beautiful over the top studios, much different than the old KMVP days with that. You know, and I'm looking out this window, and I see the foothills of Piestewa Peak. Okay, now they've also been loved to death. You know, where my mom used to drop me off at 36th above the Shiprock there.
Yes, yes.
And then just drop us off at 6 a.m., and then another mom would pick us up at 6 p.m., and we just run around Squaw Peak all day. Now, okay, that would land mom and dad in jail now if that happened, but that's the way it was. So the trails are a little more loved to death, but, you know, there's some we try to get our scouts out and do it incrementally so they're not – overdone early and don't want to hike anymore because their feet are covered with blisters or whatever.
There is no favorite one. Just get out and hike.
Yeah, get out and hike. But I can do many stories of where good places are.
We're going to do some more stories when we get back. We're here at Rosie on the House.
And
we
have
good friend Steve Hirsch.
Number one after the break.
Keep Rosie on the House the number one referral directory in the state by voting at rosieonthehouse.com or Ranking Arizona.